Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 9. John chapter 9 and verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They said unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from where he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see. Therefore your sin remaineth. And then one final portion, sorry for the length, in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, and not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we trust that the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. We have been looking so far, the last four times that we have spoken, at the five miracles of the Lord Jesus that are peculiar to the Gospel of John. He tells us that these were written, that John wrote these specific miracles that no other author wrote in his gospel, that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Each one of these miracles progresses. They are more desperate and hopeless in the condition of the people that are found, that receive the miracle from the Lord Jesus. They increase in severity. The first one in John chapter 2, we noticed at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, that they had no wine for the marriage feast. They had, spiritually speaking, no joy. No joy. And you know, that is the sad commentary on all those in the world today that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Perhaps that's you. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've never, ever confessed that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. If that is the case, you know your own heart better than we do. You know that you don't have joy. You might have happiness at times in your life, all caused by different circumstances around you, but you do not have real, abiding, lasting joy, no matter what's going on in your life. Only the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has that. For the psalmist tells us, In thy presence there is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You cannot have joy unless you have Christ. The second miracle in chapter 4, we noticed no faith on the part of the nobleman. He came to the Lord Jesus. He wanted him to heal his son. He was in a desperate situation. He asked the Lord to come to his house and heal his son. Remember, the Lord told him, this generation always seeks a sign, and no sign shall be given to this generation. And the man implored the Lord again, come to my house, raise my son, heal my son. And the Lord said, be on your way, your son liveth. And the man goes home, as the Lord told him to. And as he was coming, those two figures come walking towards him, his servants. And he, no doubt, thinks this is terrible news. Wouldn't we? And they say, thy son liveth, the same words of the Lord Jesus. How marvelous. And he said, when did that happen? And they said it was the seventh hour. And the man knew that that was the same exact time that the Lord Jesus said, thy son liveth. He demonstrated at the beginning no faith in the word of the Lord. But he soon found out that the Lord was the only one worth trusting, that you could depend on his word. And perhaps this morning you're here and you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you don't know who to believe. You know, we've got, on one hand, we've got the network news that we hear are fake news, and by all accounts, they probably are. But we hear a lot of different voices in this world trying to get our attention, trying to get us to believe them. And I have to tell you, there's no one in this world worth believing. The only one worthy of our trust, the only one worthy of our faith, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only one who can keep his word and does so time and time again. It has been proven in the scriptures. They testify of him, and it has been proven in the life of every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't believe me in that, you can talk to those that are here that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will tell you the same thing, that the Lord has always kept his word to them, to me. The third miracle was in chapter 5. We saw that the last time we were together. The impotent man that lay by the pool of Bethesda, he was lame on both his feet. He had been in that condition, we're told, for 38 years. And he laid at the pool of Bethesda because at a particular time in the year, an angel would come down from heaven and stir up the water. And the first person that would plunge themselves into that water would be made whole of whatever infirmity they had. And you think about it for a minute. I was noticing a thing on YouTube the other day of a guy that ran a marathon with no legs. Can you imagine that? And all he did, he had big forearms, let me tell you. He would move himself along the ground using his arms as his legs and landing on his stump for however long a marathon is, right? Miles and miles. This man was at the pool of Bethesda, and he could not get down those stairs to that pool on his own. He was in a desperate, may we say, helpless condition. And he says to the Lord, I have no man who's able to get me down the water in time. I've tried. No man can help me. The Lord Jesus is like, you know what? You're right. No man can help you. But I say unto thee, take up thy bed and walk. And he took up his bed. That thing that had borne him for 38 years, he took up and he bore it all the way home that day. I don't know what infirmity is keeping you from doing what the Lord Jesus wants you to do in your life. But he seeks to make you whole. of the infirmity of sin. No help. In this portion that we have read this morning, we have a man who was blind from his birth, no sight. In each of these first four miracles, we see the Lord exercising his authority. I think we heard, if I'm not mistaken, in the last hour that all authority has been given over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospels, he demonstrates that authority time and time again. Here, in just these four miracles that John mentions in his Gospel, the first one in chapter 2, no wine. The Lord made water into wine. That showed his authority over the elements. Wasn't a big deal. He said, fill the lots with water, and then you take that water to the governor of the feast. And that's all they had to do. And when they did that, it miraculously changed into wine. And not just any wine, but the good wine. The kind of wine that you said at the beginning, not at the end of the feast when everybody's well drunk and doesn't know what they're tasting. That's what the Lord Jesus tells us in his word. In the second miracle, he showed his authority over time and distance. You remember that we said that this nobleman thought that it was proximity to the Lord Jesus Christ that made all the difference in the world. That's why he pleaded with him, come to my house and heal my son. He didn't think that the Lord Jesus could, where he was, just say the word, your son lives, and he would be made whole. But that's exactly what happened. He showed his authority over time and over distance that it didn't make any difference to the Lord Jesus Christ. He could still reach down and save. And in the third miracle, the impotent man, the Lord Jesus showed that he had authority over all of these circumstances of life. We're not told how this accident happened. We're just told that this man was lame on his feet for the last 38 years before he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of us in this room have been dealing with problems, health problems, physical problems, maybe emotional problems, problems of life, the circumstances of life, doesn't matter. We've been dealing with problems all our life, it seems like. And I'm here to tell you this morning that the Lord Jesus has authority over all of that. It was nothing for him to raise that man up so that he could walk. This morning, we're going to see his authority over all creation. And when I say all creation, I just don't mean the things that we can go outside and see with our eyes and we go, okay, let me match this up with Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And yeah, the Lord made that, and 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 he's over all of that. I'm not just talking about that. When I say the Lord has authority over all creation, this is why we read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where it says, whom the God of this world has blinded the eyes of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. The Lord has authority even over the devil, the God of this world, and this world system. And he is able to bring clarity of vision to you this morning if you do not know him as your Lord and Savior. And he seeks to do that through the preaching of his word. There is nothing that is outside his control, his ability to influence, his ability to change, his ability to repair, his ability to redeem. The prophet Isaiah has written, a bruised reed will he not break, and a smoking flax will he not quench. He is able to recover everything that is broken. And I don't know what your condition is this morning. If you're here and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, I can only imagine, because I used to be in that spot. And I remember the brokenness in my own life, even as a child. And he came in and he repaired what was broken. He made it better than new. He made me, we read, a new creature in Christ Jesus. And that is what he seeks to do for you and for all those that put their faith and trust in him for salvation. This is something that the Pharisees of the Lord's day could not understand, could not comprehend. Yea, I would even go so far as to say, would not accept. Please, I implore you, if you do not know Christ this morning, do not put yourself in the place of the Pharisees of his day. In chapter 8 and verse 58, the Lord Jesus makes this statement to the Pharisees. He says, before Abraham was, I am. And at that statement, we read, they took up stones to cast at him, but he escaped out of their hand through the midst of them. He claimed to be God incarnate, the visible expression of God, the Son of God. And they wouldn't have any of that. Even though he gave countless evidences over and over again, not only of his miracles, but also of his doctrine that he was from God. And yet, they would not receive him. They would be as those John writes about in his first chapter, that he came unto his own and his own received him not. His own countrymen, they said, no, we will not have this man to reign over us. And they rejected his claims. And it is upon this rejection by the Pharisees that we take up in chapter 9 and verse 1, that the Lord is now leaving the temple in Jerusalem, and he's passing through the midst of these Pharisees that want to kill him, basically. And it says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked a pretty important question that, if we think about it for a moment, the answer the Lord Jesus gave them should give us cheer in our hearts this morning. The disciples asked, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And I got to tell you, we do the same exact thing in our lives as well. There is a lurking tendency in men in general to seek to find some reprehensible cause for another person's suffering. Who sinned? This man? Did this man sin? Or did his parents sin? Had to be one or the other. Well, if you think about it, it couldn't have been this man that sinned, because it says he was blind from birth. He came out that way. So it must be his parents. So they threw that in the mix too. His parents must have sinned. That's why he's deformed, you know. The Lord's reply is a rebuke and points to an answer that enables men to deal effectively with sorrow and misery in their life. Neither did this man sin, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. If you're here this morning and you have some deformity, if you have some aspect of your life that's not normal, at least in everybody else's mind, I've been called not normal before, but don't you believe it. Right? But the Lord Jesus says that it's all been brought about on purpose, not because of the sin that has been committed, but so that he might make his glory, his power, his authority known to that person individually and to those around them. That's why when it comes to the greatest enemy in men's lives, death, the believer in Christ can look at death, and even though a loved one has been taken in death, he can say, glory be to God. Because he has been made manifest to us through these difficult situations in our lives. Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. There are two facts that are extremely interesting here. The first is in verse 32. The blind man, or the formerly blind man speaking, says, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. This first interesting fact is true. That since the beginning of time, I went back into the scriptures and looked it up. I cannot find in the Old Testament anywhere where it says someone was born blind. In fact, the first mention of blindness in the scriptures, in the Old Testament scriptures, is in Genesis where Lot receives those angelic beings in Sodom. And you remember what happened there. They wanted those Lot to give those men over to them so that they could consume it on their lust. And Lot went out the door of his house and he said, no, my brethren, don't do this thing. Right? And he tried to convince them and they pressed on him. So much so that it says those angels reached their hand around from behind the door and grabbed Lot and brought him into the house by the scruff of his neck. And shut the door. And when they shut the door, they smote all the men on the outside with blindness. And this is what the scripture says about that blindness, beloved. That even in their blindness, they were still groping for the door. They still wanted their sin. But here is a man who, since the beginning of time, it had not been heard of, who was going to open the eyes of one born blind. My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is here this morning, and he wants to do business with anyone that wants to do business with him. If you are serious about your sin, if you seriously want to have your sin taken away, he's the man to deal with, the only one, who laid down his life, who shed his precious blood, as we were talking about in the first meeting this morning, and makes it possible for all those that put their faith and trust in his atoning work to receive the forgiveness of their sins. The second fact, there is a remedy. That's the first fact. There is a remedy for the problem that you're in. The second fact, that every time the Lord Jesus came across a blind person in the New Testament, he always restored their sight. That's not by accident. There's a far greater aspect than just the physical that we see in the Gospels of what the Lord Jesus did. Yeah, it's great that he healed people. It's great that we can say that every blind person he ever came across, he restored their sight, their vision. But that's not what the Lord's trying to say. What the Lord's trying to say is, he wants all men to be saved. He now commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. And it is no different for you this morning in 2019. He wants you to be saved from your sins. And he is more than capable, but he is also more than willing to save you from your sins. And so, he does something that is kind of peculiar. To heal the man of his blindness, he spits on the ground, he makes clay out of the mud, and he applies it to the man's eyes. Don't know about you, but to me, that would make me blind. That would not heal me from blindness. But the Lord has a purpose in this. The Lord anoints his eyes with this clay and he says this, go wash that stuff off your face and you'll have your sight back. Is that what he said? No. He said, go wash in the pool Siloam. That was a particular pool in the city of Jerusalem. I can maybe get around enough to maybe make it to the back door, but once I hit that back door, I am not going to be able to make it in the parking lot with my eyes closed. How crazy is it to tell a blind man, okay, I put stuff on to make you even more blind, but go wash in the pool Siloam somewhere here in the city of Jerusalem. Here's why the Lord Jesus did that. Because there's only one way to have your sight restored. There's only one way. He could have said, just find a water source anywhere. Go into this house over here, ask him for water and just get... No, it had to be what he said. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. It had to be in the pool of Siloam. Could be pool of Bethesda. Had to be in the pool of Siloam. He was very exact. Because there's only one way that you can be born again. There's only one way that you can be saved from your sins. The disciples tell us that in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. It's the only way. And maybe you're here this morning in your unconverted state, and you've tried, as they say on the pizza box, you've tried the best, the rest, now try the best, right? Maybe you've tried everything there is to try in life. And nothing has ever taken away that guilt because of sin. I am telling you this morning that there is only one way to have that problem of sin taken care of, and that is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must come to him. You must do it his way and not your way. You must do it his way and not the world's way. You do it any other way but his way, and you will still be spiritually blind. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he went and washed, and he came, it says, the scripture says, he came seeing. True to the word of the Lord Jesus, he came seeing. Try to think, what would that have been like? Here's a person that has never, ever, ever known sight. It'd be one thing if I got macular degeneration or whatever and finally lost my eyesight. I can still picture in my mind things I've seen over time. But this man couldn't picture anything. He was blind from his birth. What must it have felt like for him to wash that junk off his face, to open his eyes, and to be able to see people, see loved ones, see trees, see the sky? I'll tell you, the closest that I could come to this was after I had my heart attack. The doctor said, you know, we want you to start exercising. We want you to just walk around the block, you know, as you're convalescing before we let you go back to work. And so I would go out in our neighborhood and I would wait until everybody went to school and everything. So, you know, the neighborhood would be empty. And I would go out to walk. And I can remember the first day going out to walk. It seemed like the sky's blue hue was bluer. It seemed like the green grass was greener. Maybe it was just me. But I'm sure that was something like that for this guy. Now, through the middle portion of this chapter, we have this dissertation between this man and his parents and the Pharisees and his neighbors. And the Pharisees figure prominently, so it should be a good idea for us to comment on them. The word Pharisee means separated, and this term really describes what they did during the Lord's earthly ministry. They tried to separate people from the Lord Jesus. They didn't want people coming in contact with the Lord. He was healing the sick, miraculously feeding the crowds, raising the dead. The words that he spoke were words of humility and words of love and words of compassion and yet words of truthfulness and judgment to come. They didn't want anybody coming into contact with that. They made a pact that anybody that would claim Christ would be, that he would be equal with God, that they would get excommunicated from their gatherings in the synagogue. And that's exactly what they did to this man. They excommunicated him. But they could not reason with the simplicity of his testimony. He says this, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know. One thing I know. I was blind. Now I see." You do the math. I can tell you, as much as a 7-year-old boy could understand that he is a guilty, hell-deserving sinner, that there was a time when I was outside of the salvation that God provides through the Lord Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord, for the last 50 years, I've been on the inside of that salvation. And I know that there are others in this room this morning that can say the same exact thing. It's a simple testimony. I was blind, but now I see. Would you like to see this morning? Would you like to know that your sins have been forgiven? That as far as you're standing before God, there is nothing that you need to fear? That there is no judgment that's headed your way because of your sinful acts? That the guilt that you felt could just fall away just like that pack that pilgrim carried up that hill in Pilgrim's Progress? It is possible with the Lord Jesus. 4 important points that I want to make at the close of this chapter. First of all, it says that when Jesus heard that they had cast him out, he went and found him. We have a seeking Savior. Luke 19:10 tells us, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. There is somebody in the heavens who is for you, even in your sinful condition. He wants to save you. He has been seeking you out your entire life. He has been waiting for you to turn around and repent of your sin and accept Him as your Savior and Lord. He is a seeking Savior. In verse 36, we read, the man asked, "Who is He, Lord, that I may believe on Him?" He was a sincere inquirer. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 tells us that he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We have a seeking Savior, but we also have a sincere inquirer or a seeking sinner who's looking for salvation. Maybe you're not looking for that this morning. Then I would ask you, why are you here? Why do you come week in and week out if you're not seeking something? In verse 37, Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen Him, and it is He that talketh with thee." It was a surprising revelation to that man. This is what, I got to read this. Sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says this: "But we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." That is the preaching of the cross, right? Paul says in Romans that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who believe it is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And brethren, that is why we need to be preaching the gospel more from this platform, is because it is the only thing we read is the power of God and the wisdom of God, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." It is a surprising revelation when we meet the Lord Jesus and He reveals Himself to us. And He said, "Lord, I believe." And He worshiped Him. And that is a simple faith, isn't it? You just have to believe. You don't have to pay any kind of money. You don't have to keep a particular set of rules and regulations. You don't have to be at a particular place at a particular time. All you have to do is believe the gospel message that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt not be any more blind. Let's turn to number 242 in the red hymnal. While the pianist is coming up, we'll just pray. Father, we are thankful this morning for the simplicity of Your word and of the gospel message. There is no reason why anyone in our company this morning should continue in darkness, should continue being blind. The Lord Jesus seeks to open their eyes. He seeks to show them what great things the Lord is able to do for them in saving them from their sins. Father, we pray that Your Holy Spirit may not give the unconverted in our audience this morning any peace or rest in this life until they do business with the Lord Jesus and come to know him whom to know is life eternal. We ask it in his name and for his glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Number 242, we'll sing this and the meeting will be over. The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light to shine in for thee. Sweetly the light hath dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. No darkness have we who in Jesus abide. The light of the world is Jesus. We walk in the light when we follow our guide. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light to shine in for thee. Sweetly the light hath dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. No dwellers in darkness with sin-blinded eyes. The light of the world is Jesus. Go wash at his bidding and light will arise. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light to shining for thee. Sweetly the light hath dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. No need of the sunlight in heaven, we're told. The light of the world is Jesus. The Lamb is the light in the city of gold. The light of the world is Jesus.